Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Paramount Skydance has acquired CNN. Paramount Skydance is run by a Trump supporter and billionaire, David Ellison. And his company's bid to acquire CNN has been accepted. If it's approved, this will put CNN under the control of the Ellison family. Alert! You know, we've all heard of terrorist sleeper cells, and we've been told some are here from Iran. Now, of course, these are secret. You can't, like, you know, watch their house or something. And I have no way to assess any vulnerability here in good old Santa Maria or our immediate environs. But it is the better part of wisdom to be ready. Have at least 3 months of food stored anyway, and be prepared to defend your home and family. What is this? Blue states, including California, hiring illegals to wear a badge, carry a gun, and enforce our laws, including gun laws? What? They are not supposed to be able to legally carry a firearm anyway, but what do you think about this? You know, someone from a foreign country entering our country illegally, they're not a citizen. And they're being hired by our local police departments. Now, I don't know if any illegals have been hired in Santa Maria or in our county or neighboring counties. It sounds like an LA or SFO sort of thing, you know. But are you okay with this? Some think this is a loophole that's being used to arm illegals. Huckabee ordered his staff out of Israel. Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Cyprus, Finland, Germany, India, Poland, Serbia, Singapore, South Korea, Sweden, the UK, and the US are all calling their citizens to leave Iran now. Afghanis are surrendering to the Pakistan army. That's interesting. Afghanistan is to the immediate east of the eastern border of Iran. Not hard to suppose this is further preparation for a possible attack on Iran. London, meanwhile, is surrendering to Islam. The UAE, United Arab Emirates, is a Sunni Muslim country. You know it's bad when the Muslim UAE cuts funding for its citizens to study at formerly Christian UK universities. Their concern? Radicalization and influence of Muslim extremists. Russia has deployed chemical weapons in Ukraine? Really? They use phosphorus, which incinerates living things, anything it touches or contacts. Ukraine videoed the attack, supposedly, and released the drone video. This is a negative story against Russia and positive for Ukraine. Therefore, Grok AI, and probably the rest of them do, support the reporting. And so they didn't lead, as they typically do, with some statement like, no credible sources confirm. They mention, as a byline, later in the story, quote, no immediate independent verifications, for example, from Reuters, BBC, or other Western wire services, appears in available results, end quote. That's interesting. Let's see. Now, here you go. Trump is preparing to deliver ground support for deployed troops from space. Yeah, the Air Force and Space Force are spending millions of dollars researching a concept called rocket cargo, where they would shoot a capsule full of troops or supplies into orbit and then land it anywhere on Earth within 90 minutes or less. Well, that's just a lot faster than anything else we have currently. The big risk to our big carriers deployed there around Iran would be hypersonic missiles, and I've read some reports that claim China's supplying these to Iran. However, trying to vet it, I can only confirm that China is negotiating with Iran to supply supersonic anti-ship missiles, against which U.S. defenses are prepared to defend. Furthermore, there is no evidence that China has actually mastered the hypersonic missile thing. They like us to believe they have, but there's no real evidence of that. They are still in the testing and development stage, as are we. I've been trying to keep up with that whole Tucker Candace, Charlie Erica Nexus. And I have to say, some of the stuff that's percolating to the surface in this capital K kerfuffle makes me feel like I'm looking through the looking glass at some of my, favorite people who have walked through it seems, and got lost in that crazy world. So much has been inverted. Suddenly Trump's naive, sold out to Israel. Israel's our enemy, hijacked our foreign policy. And that Trump isn't acting independently of his own accord. And I don't get it. The biggest mistake we can make, according to these people, is to touch the devil's stronghold in Iran. They wouldn't use that language. I do. I'm listening to very intelligent and conservative patriots describe Israel as our enemy, or as the enemy of world peace, I should put it that way. You know, it's like I woke up this morning and had to ask seriously, what planet did I wake up on today? But today, when I took the time to examine the conversation, in this case, Alex Jones, with ex-CIA spooky dude, John Kiriakou, both of whom I respect, by the way, I thought, it's time to weigh in. There's some serious ignorance going on here that needs to be addressed because it's about to blow up. I've listened to Tucker's conversation with Huckabee, for example, and it's frustrating. And you'll understand why as we get on with this, my friend. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I'm going to address what the author of Confusion has injected into our MAGA movement, no doubt in an attempt to divide and defeat our best chance to take America back for God. At the center of the divide is Israel. It's weird listening to Tucker Candace, especially Candace, and lately Alex Jones, whose ear is given to the likes of John Kiriakou, a professed Christian and former adjunct professor at Liberty, who is as confused as a termite in a yo-yo on the question of Israel. Well, I felt like I was peering through the looking glass where everything is reversed. You know, beware of the white queen and don't get confused by Tweedledee or dumb. Especially be careful of dumb. Ignorance will destroy us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, saith the Lord, Hosea 4, verse 6. The MAGA movement is being ripped to pieces by ignorant Christians. I'm going to give you the knowledge you need to rightly understand this debate. The ignorance of Tucker, Alex Jones, John Kiriakou, and Candace, and Huckabee's weak defense against their ignorance is shouldn't be surprising, right? I mean, we haven't been people of the book for quite a long time. Ignorance about some of the questions being raised is, frankly and sadly, prevalent today. But today, this ignorance is way past being sometimes embarrassing or problematic. Today, my friend, it's downright dangerous. But before we start, pause and reflect on how amazing it is that, well, first, the 2024 election turned on the question, is Christ the King? And now, foreign policy is literally being shaped by our biblical understanding of questions related to Israel and to certain prophecies. Now, here are some of the questions I'll answer. First, what exactly are the terms of Abram's covenant with God regarding the land? A lot of confusion on that. Second, after we settle that question about the original promised boundaries of Israel's promised land, I'll address the current status of Israel with regard to the promised land, since she rejected her Messiah. And he, through the Apostle Paul, declared the gospel would be turned to the Gentiles. But it didn't say anything about the promised land. I'll get to that. Third, what does the Bible say about Israel's last days occupation of the promised land? What will the borders look like? Finally, I'll offer some general observations on the arguments being slung about among conservatives and explain why this issue is important to the MAGA movement, and I hope I get to that. There's a lot of material here, and if I don't, whatever I can't get to, I'll pick up on Saturday night during the Brain Massage Live, and I plan to go on at 7, but, you know, things happen. I might not get there till 8. The Bible predicted that as we near the time of the end, which Daniel describes as the period in prophetic history where Antichrist is ruling the world, all nations are going to be centered on what to do about Jerusalem. Not a few biblical prophecies describe Jerusalem as at the center of world interest and debate, as history carries us toward what Jesus called the end. By the way, all scriptures and so on are here in my notes. And you can get them by going to brainmassage.net and clicking on this episode, and you'll see a place there to access my notes. The most famous of these verses is Zechariah. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Zechariah 12, 2-3. Much of the debate revolves around whether Israel has, presently, a divine claim to what's called the Promised Land, and one point of confusion concerns what the Bible says defines the borders of the land that was promised to Abram's seed. So let's look at that. God came to Abram and described the borders of the Promised Land as extending from the Nile in Egypt to the great river all across the land to the end of the Euphrates River, somewhere there in Turkey. And he named all the tribes that then occupied the land westward of that line, that border, to the Mediterranean Sea. The Muslims understood this covenant as extending from the river to the sea. And this is recorded in Genesis 15. In chapter 16, we learn that Sarah was barren and gave her handmaid Hagar to Abram to raise up seed to inherit the promised land. Ishmael was born, and Ishmael is of the seed of Abram, and this is the progenitor of the Arab peoples. About 13 years later, God appeared to Abram and changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. But something happens here that Tucker, Alex, and all of them miss. God redefines the borders of the promised land and limits it. He says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Genesis 17:8. He does not describe it as including the land from the river Euphrates to the sea, the Mediterranean. He limits it to what was at the time called the land of Canaan. Now that included the area described to Joshua before he went into the land of Canaan. And I've got my notes here. You can study the details in my footnotes. What about God's promise to Abram that his seed would occupy all the land described in Genesis 15, from the Euphrates all the way to the Mediterranean? God did not change his promise at all. It wasn't abridged. The promise was to Abram's seed, and it was fulfilled. All of that land is occupied and dominated by the people that come from Abraham's seed. Remember, Ishmael is Abraham's son. All the descendants of Abram qualify to inherit this land. As for Esau, for whom God reserved the land of Edom, Esau is the seed of Abraham. As for the children of Lot, for whom God made a special provision in view of his relationship to Abram, God provided a place in Moab and Ammon, or for Moab and Ammon, within the promised land, as the extended promised land, as a special favor to his friend Abram. Now, these special allotments are also under the divine covenant of God. Israel was specifically told not to drive out Edom, Moab, or Ammon. So any claim on the promised land by Israel must honor these special terms of their covenant. It's limited to Canaan. It doesn't include Edom, Moab, or Ammon. These areas of the land must be reserved to the nations occupying them today. Does this divine land grant apply to Israel today? That's another question. And the answer is yes. When God removed the kingdom from Israel and turned it over to the Gentiles, he specifically said that they could remain and should, in fact, he ordered them to remain in their land. He never removed them from the divine grant of the land, though in punishment because they abandoned it, he did remove them from it for a while. But what they lost permanently, or at least until Jesus returns, which is a complicated tale. I don't have time to go get my book, God's War. It explains it in great detail. But what they lost was the kingdom. However, the promised land was never taken away from them, except when they abandoned it. But even then, God would refer to it as your land, or the land of Israel. Even when God punished them for abandoning their land, he continued to refer to it as the land of Israel. And again, when speaking to them directly, he would say your land. What about the questions raised about the borders of the land of Israel in the last days? Or the borders as they were defined by the Gentiles in the Balfour Compact? We know from the prophet Isaiah and Micah that Israel was promised she would occupy her land in the last days. And prophetically, the last days began at Pentecost, and they continue until today, until we're taken up out of the world in Jesus' return. Isaiah, Micah, and Daniel also reveal that Israel will have her temple and will be using it for worship during the period called the last days. The fact is, one of Israel's failures has been that she never did occupy all of her promised land. God warned her that would create problems, and it has. The very first last days prophecy in the Bible was given by the patriarch Jacob at the time of his passing. It's recorded in Genesis 49. In verse 13, he speaks of Zebulun and prophesies that in the last days, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. End quote. Now, folks, Zidon is in Lebanon. It's something like 28 miles north of Israel's border with Lebanon. The northernmost city in Israel is Dan, or Tel Dan, and it's about, I think, 40 miles south of Zidon. Now, friends, according to the Bible and Bible prophecy, we should expect Israel eventually, through a series of wars probably, I've been predicting this for like 50 years, that through a series of wars provoked by our enemies, she will reoccupy her promised land. She will expand the border she presently has to those, let's just pick those up, David's day. And she will extend her ancient borders to complete the prophecy of Jacob concerning Zebulun. For Zebulun has never occupied Zidon or Sidon. She has no port, no haven by the sea, not in the Med, nor in the Galilee. Asher actually occupied the area of modern Lebanon that included Tyre. But some maps include Sidon, some don't. Zebulun was landlocked in any event, bordered by Asher to the west, Naphtali to the north, Issachar to the east, and Manasseh to the south. Now, I'll speak to this more Saturday night, but let's get started addressing the catfight going on between conservatives over Israel. Now, the first point I need to make, and I really hate to begin here because people misconstrue this and have down through the centuries they've misconstrued this. But if we can't go with the Bible, we're going to just say what the Bible tells you and then help you understand it rightly. And here's what I'm talking about, the fact that with regard to Israel's current status before Christ, she has rejected their king. And so she was not restored. The kingdom wasn't restored to her. And it won't be until she repents and receives Christ as her king. But that is not to be connected with the land, just as it wasn't before, it isn't now. And Christ, see, Revelation 1:5, we're told, he is right now prince over all the kings of the earth. His name has been exalted right now over all principalities, powers, and dominions, and his name is above every name on earth or in heaven, Ephesians 1:12-21, and this is true right now. In fact, it expressly says in verse 21, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Israel and Rome, the Gentiles and the Jews, rejected Jesus as the Christ, which means anointed, to be God's Lamb, the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, John 1:29 and 1 John 2:1-2, and then in his resurrection to be King, sent to rule over all the world and all of heaven right now. So read Psalm 2, Acts 4:25-27, Matthew 28:18. It's all in my notes here. The Bible says, anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. It doesn't say they are the Antichrist. It does say, however, that they are among the children of disobedience who have refused to bow the knee to Christ as King. 2 John verse 7. And that includes both Jews and Gentiles, by the way. So yeah, every Jew and every Gentile that denies Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world in the flesh, is Antichrist. They are called upon to repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. Now, Islam instructs the disciples of Allah to kill anyone who refuses to bow the knee to Allah and confess Muhammad as his prophet. Now, we as Christians are specifically instructed not to kill or destroy, but to labor for their salvation by the preaching of his word. He said he would save the lost by the foolishness of preaching. It's whosoever will may come. It's whosoever shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his or her heart that God raised him from the dead, who will, in that case, call upon his name to save them, recognizing, of course, that they're sinners in need of his salvation and forgiveness. They can be saved. In fact, he promised they would be saved. The only sword we use to encourage conversion is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I won't have the time I was going to take to start analyzing the arguments. So we'll get started on that, and I'll continue that Saturday night for the Brain Massage Live. When I'm looking at the conversation that was going on between Alex Jones and John Kiriakou, both men I have great respect for. Well, I wound up with less respect for Kiriakou as I listened to him, to be frank. And I'm concerned about Alex. Why is he giving this guy his ear? First of all, we do differentiate between Israel as a religion and Israel as a nation. They're not one and the same. But you know, as a nation, Israel is probably the only real friend we have in the region. Well, that's changed since Trump has come along. It's a complex matter that does require some time to sort it all out. But upon the backdrop of the Bible knowledge you received here and the biblical prophecies, I think you can see right now a lot of the questions and debate and argument are addressed. But then you got to go to, what's the spirit behind all this? What's going on with people, you know, saying silly things like, you know, getting into this argument about the idea that Israel controls America. Listen, because certain people in Israel make asinine statements that project something that goes way out past anything their official leaders have said, because I can't find who said this anyway. Do you want all the nations of the world to listen to Jasmine Crockett and think they're listening to the sentiment and policy of the American government or the American people? The fact that some nut job in there imagines that they have taken over a foreign policy by taking control of America, I want to ask you a question. Had we lost control over foreign policy when Obama was ruling and doing everything in favor of Islam, creating ISIS? Was that a period of time in which our foreign policy was co-opted by some ideology? Foreign policy is always going to be driven by some kind of an ideology. Thank God it's coming from the Bible now. Thank God it's not coming from Islam, from fear or concern about Islam, but coming from principle, the principle of this. Iran has been screaming death to America for 50 years. Well, thereabouts. Death to the great Satan, death to the little... How long are we going to live with this nonsense? And orchestrating all kinds of attacks upon Israel, including the attack on October 7th. Now, I know that you go into this thing and you see, well, this bit over here says that Israel actually instigated that and all this kind of, yeah, I know. You can see the blood running down the corners of the mouth of Benjamin Netanyahu and the, you know, and the devil in his eyes. And he's hungry for blood. He especially enjoys the blood of Israelites. This is absolute insanity. There is no question in my mind, there are some nut jobs in Israel like there are nut jobs in America and nut jobs in Iran and nut job everywhere. There's a nut job somewhere. You can't build your whole argument around the nut jobs. The general principles of governance in Israel are favorable to freedom and liberty, and we don't see them lining up protesters and killing them in the streets. But you do see that with Iran. We do know that Iran wants to wipe out Israel. They've said so. We do know that Iran is funding Hezbollah and Hamas, and I think the Houthis too, if I understand correctly. They are doing all these things. They're trying to push Israel into the sea. This is their whole, their whole ideology is centered on a hatred, the old hatred, the Bible calls it, of Israel. Well, how in the world can you complain? Oh, Israel's taken over our foreign policy. Because we're making foreign policy decisions that are favorable to the best country in terms of westernized kind of thinking about freedom and liberty and all that, and an objective understanding of truth. So I wonder on what planet did I wake up in this morning, you know, that I go to sleep and Elon created a rocket ship to Mars and a base is there and I woke, I don't get it. It's crazy. And anyway, I'll speak to the idea that Congress should intervene and take away Trump's powers to execute. And then this character, John Kiriakou, says, well, that's unconstitutional. Well, no, the Constitution gave the right to declare war to the Congress. And Congress said, because they have enough sense to know the situation we're in since World War II, they understand what the environment is. And they said, you know, we're going to have a president that's able to respond right away to things. We can't just sit around and wait. Okay, I've gone over my time. I'm going to have to wrap it up. My friend, come on by the lighthouse and see me. I'll be speaking to these things Sunday in both messages, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And you're welcome to be my guest. I would love to meet you. I've lit the lamps to the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Go to brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Send me an email. Or you can call me. You'll have to leave a message in our listener response hotline. If you want me to call you back, please say so, because not everybody does. Say so, and I'll call you back. But dial 1-805-314-2114. Now that number again. 1-805-314-2114. You can call and just say lights on or lights off or leave whatever message you might have for me. And again, if you want me to call you back, please let me know, and I'll be glad to do that. I always enjoy talking to my listeners. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.